If we concentrate very carefully now, we will find ourselves in exactly the place we need to be. In fact, we will find ourselves in a land not all that far from here. Not all that far, but hard enough to find that you're never likely to get there. I have tried. This land has a name, but it is much too difficult to pronounce. It would not be dignified to try. Of course, our land, the United States of America, rolls effortlessly off the tongue and is so easy to find that you're likely to spend half your life looking for the way out. So already, you see, we've described two differences between here and there. Another difference to consider in the hard-to-find and difficult-to-pronounce land in which our story takes place, the luckless and hungry remain luckless and hungry for all of their lives. By contrast, in the United States of America, everyone and everything is given a fair and equal chance. It would be rude to believe otherwise. Here, be it Michigan or Missouri, the luckless and hungry are likely to stub a toe, look down, and discover at their feet a soup bowl full of gold bullion. Eureka! But there, the luckless and hungry are likely to stub a toe, look down, and discover only the dried up root of a withered old apple tree. Well, so opens today's book, The Purloining of Prince Oleomargarine, or Oleomargarine if you prefer. Brimming with optimism and miraculous can-do American spirit, The Prince of Oleomargarine is a classic tale for children of all ages, for anyone willing to run with Mark Twain's surprisingly rosy outlook on life in the here versus the dour and never-changing there that he paints in the very first pages of this new illustrated novel. Our tale opens there and focuses our attention on a young farm boy, Johnny, and his unfortunately named chicken, Pestilence and Famine, who share their meager lives with the lad's grumpy grandfather. One day, the lad is sent by his grandfather to take the woebegone chicken, our lad's only friend in the world, to the faraway market to be sold so that Johnny may purchase food for himself and his grandfather. As the boy and his chicken set out on their journey to the faraway, they are soon swept up in a regal parade that takes them to the bustling, chaotic market scene within the shadow of the king's castle. There, our lad finds himself in possession of a handful of magic blue seeds, which result in his suddenly having the ability of conversing with the animals of the surrounding lands. And thanks to the intervention of a friendly skunk named Susie, Johnny is led into a land of unrivaled plenty, where lion almost lies down with lamb, and feasting on vegetarian delights is the order of the day for Johnny, his newfound friend Susie the skunk, and a posse of elephants, alligators, eagles, squirrels. Note, dear listener, if all of this seems a bit phasmagorical, well, it is. But we're reading a tale by Mark Twain, a writer for whom a touch, or in our case, a large dollop of whimsy, is not at all out of line when there is a moral-tinged tale to tell. But back to the tale. Johnny and his animal friends soon enough find themselves on the hunt for the aforementioned purloined Prince of Oleomargarine. And thanks to the wiles of his animal friends, Johnny not only discovers but releases the prince from the clutches of two fire-breathing dragons, only to find the sniveling young prince less than a charming captive. The giants, who had captured Prince Oleomargarine, claim that the prince followed them and then would not leave their town, much to the giants' dismay, you may be sure. Johnny, the hero of our tale, nonetheless returns the prince to his castle, reaping the reward of protection from harm for his animal friends and peace of mind for himself and his newly reunited friend, the chicken Patience and Pestilence. All we learn ends well for once, at least for those who no longer need to deal with the Prince of Oleomargarine. You know, Mark Twain is everywhere once again. The publication of Twain's newly found autobiography between the years 2010 and 2015, brought new attention to a man whose literary work is so emblematic of post-Civil War America, and in some significant ways, the American experience up to our day as well. And many readers may well remember that Mark Twain's short stories were our community's one great read selection not that many years ago. Now, while some folks may read this as an overly saccharine tale that rivals the ever-popular Annie in outlook, let's remember that Twain's outline for the story was written at a time in the late 19th century when America's slowly enriching working-class folks were experiencing tumultuous booms and busts in the nation's rush towards becoming the industrial giant that America would be, not unlike the 1930s timeline for Annie. Our tale, we're told, was originally intended to delight Mark Twain's daughters as the Twain family was sojourning in Paris. So the idea of here and there would have made literal sense to his original audience, his daughters, at bedtime, even more so than to us. But why name the tale The Prince of Oleomargarine, we may wonder? Well, we do know that oleomargarine was a new faux dairy food when the book was first imagined by Twain. And we know that Twain was fond of incorporating items within his and his audience's sight as he told his tales. Perhaps the prince was named for the buttery substance he and his daughters had just discovered earlier that day, or maybe even with that evening's meal. And a word about who actually wrote this tale. While Mark Twain is credited with telling the outline of this story and takes our contemporary author quite far into the story, there is a wonderfully executed wink and a nod colloquy throughout between today's author and Twain, as they are imagined to be sharing this tale on a lazy summer's day as they spend time relaxing together near a Michigan lake. Our modern-day author, the fellow who actually published today's book, Philip Stead, expresses both wonder and questions about Twain's story in these asides, and they dot the book's text, with Twain being Twain, both disdainful and slippery in his responses. And finally, a word about the illustrations. This is an illustrated novel. They're color-washed pastels by the author's wife and longtime collaborator, Aaron Stead. And they portray Johnny, the boy from there, and his chicken, and their many animal friends so very well. The story, as I said, has a happy ending. And as we near the end of this tale of here and there, we learn from Twain about a song that a nightingale was singing as the animals were coming to the rescue of that nasty little prince. The words that the nightingale has to say are beautiful and delightful, and I think a great tale and a great ending to this tale of friendship. As the nightingale is said to have sung, "The world is beautiful and dangerous and joyful and sad and ungrateful and giving and full of so many things. The world is new and it is old. It is big and it is small. The world is fierce and it is kind. And we, every one of us, are in it." The Purloining of Prince Oleomargarine by Mark Twain and Philip Stead. Illustrations by Aaron Stead. It's a fantastic read for anyone of any age. And it's available at all of our fine local libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.